middle of last month, the pastor said, would you mind being literalist in January? And I thought, oh, no, that'd be fun. Then he has me reading from the Apocrypha, from Sirach, chapter 24, 1 through 12. And since I know none of us have it, I hope it's on the screen and I have a little cheat sheet here, okay? Wisdom praises herself and tells of her glory in the midst of her people. In the assembly of the Most High, she opens her mouth, and in the presence of his host, she tells of her glory. I came forth from the mouth of the Most High and covered the earth like a mist. I dwelt in the highest heaven, and my throne was a pillar of cloud. Alone, I encompassed the vault of heaven and traversed the depths of the abyss. Over the waves of the sea, over all the earth, and over every people and nation, I held sway. Among all these, I sought a resting place in whose territory should I abide. When the Creator of all things gave me a command, my Creator chose a place for my tent. He said, make your dwelling in Jacob, and in Israel receive your inheritance. Before the ages, in the beginning, he created me, and for all the ages I shall not cease to be. In the holy tent I administered before him, and so I was established in Zion. Thus, in the beloved city, he gave me a resting place, and in Jerusalem was my domain. I took root in an honored people, in the portion of the Lord, his inheritance. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and verse 9 to 14. Please rise if you are able. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. I forgot to set my clocks, Neo, so if I go too long, you just get up and start communion. If I've gone on too long, just cut me right off. It did seem like the old year had really intruded on the new year. I don't know about you, but I got up in the morning and looked at the news on New Year's Day, and it looked as bad as it had the night before. And as Rich has indicated, we struggle now with the possibility of war. I'm not sure I see society moving. Are we moving on to perfection? Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord, we're moving on to perfection. Let's say that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I look around. I'm not sure. I kind of wonder. And I was wondering about all of that, and an interesting thing happened. You look for inspirations in different places. And I happened to just stumble onto this gal, little gal, only 5'4" high, older gal. Her name's Queen Elizabeth II. You might have heard of her. She was crowned when Harry Truman was president. I wasn't even then. I wasn't even a gleam in thought, in the forethought in my parents' eyes. Some of you have a little more wisdom than I do from your years. But think about that. Harry Truman, Eisenhower, JFK, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, Bush, she has greeted all of those presidents. If you're paying attention, I did not mention Johnson. A little bit of trivia, she never met with Lyndon Johnson. Don't know why. Don't want to go there. But what interesting thought to see her, a picture of her with Harry S. Truman. Was it S? What was his middle name? It was what? S. I can't understand what they're saying, but that's all right. This woman has longevity, and she gave a speech at Christmas. It was a delight. And her wisdom came out. We got a little bit of wisdom here. There are a few people with a little bit of longevity, with a little bit of experience. Burns has some wisdom too, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. All right. But she was talking about growing up, and she was talking about World War II was in its midst. And she remembered looking at her father's face, and there was weight upon his face. There was concern and worry in his eyes. And she didn't know what was going on. It was top secret. It was called D-Day. The invasion by the Allies of France to begin to move against the Nazis and against Germany. And there was worry. There was worry whether or not it would succeed. There was worry whether they would be pushed back into the sea. There was worry because there were a lot of lives at risk. And it weighed heavily upon him. And she saw that as a young woman. We need to kind of think back to that time. I'm too young, but I have seen some of the films and some of the propaganda that was a part of our country helping us against the opposition and vilifying, demonizing those that we were against. It was harsh and raw, and it's painful to see. And many of those things don't get replayed today, thank God. But here were the enemies. And here was a day of tremendous loss of life. The Queen says, for the 75th anniversary of that decisive battle, and a true spirit of reconciliation, those who had formerly been sworn enemies came together in friendly commemorations on either side of the channel, putting past differences behind them. 75 years later, she had watched all of this. She had seen, and I have seen videos of that event, and it brought tears to my eyes. Japanese Americans, German Americans, Germans, Japanese, Australians, infantrymen that sworn enemies and stopping and giving each other hugs and support and love and care. It takes time, she said. Time's a funny thing. How many of you are wearing watches? Couple of us. Majority of us just use our phone now, don't we? What an awesome idea to be carrying around a phone. I remember the idea of having, and they had those huge brick phones, remember when they used to have those? I got in the car the other day, I was going to go somewhere, and I thought, I can't get in the car and drive anywhere, I don't have my phone with me. What a change. Not more than a couple of decades ago, none of us had phones in our cars. But I saw a bit of news that's going to be interesting to you. You see, scientists, this is an actual event, and I don't have all the documentation on it, but you've heard of quantum mechanics, and you've heard of quantum tunneling. And quantum tunneling says that two muons are linked to each other in such a way that if you change one, it changes the other. And it doesn't matter where they are. So you can have a muon here in Burns, and you can have another one in Tokyo. And if you change the one in Burns, the one in Tokyo will change at the same time, instantly. Now, instantly is an interesting thing. I bought some presents this Christmas. I went on the internet and I saw a present that I wanted, and I quickly emailed the vendor and sent money, and within a couple of minutes I had ordered a gift from Russia. Instant. But instant isn't really instant. You've heard of Mars. It's a planet. And we have sent little robots to Mars, and they're crawling around on the surface of Mars. And NASA talks to them, and they talk back. But they have to be pretty smart. They have to act on their own because, you see, it takes 4 minutes for us to send a radio signal traveling at the speed of light to get to the rover. You send it, it'll take 4 minutes to get the message, and 4 minutes to get the message back. That's 8 minutes. And that's when Earth and Mars are close together. When we're further apart, 24 minutes transit time at the speed of light. Two muons, one at Burns, one in Tokyo, one at Burns, one on Mars. And you change one and the other changes at the same instant. They're calling it teleportation. Teleportation of information. This is amazing. This is startling. And people are going to look at that and say, oh, that's easy then. We'll take it for granted, and I want things that are shipped to me to come faster. Whether they bring them by drones or however. We are a society now that's getting faster and faster and faster and faster, aren't we? When I was in college, this is a jump, but I'll tie it in. I was in Mesa College, and I was young and didn't look quite like this. And one of my hobbies was mountain climbing. You know, rocks and pitons and carabiners and ropes and ascents and descents and en belay and all of that sorts of thing. And one of my favorite places to climb was a little canyon just outside of Grand Junction called Uniweep Canyon. And there are some big cliffs up there, granite cliffs called Granite Meadows. And I mentioned in passing something about that in my geology professor. You know what geology is, study of rocks and stuff. My geology professor, he says, look for striations. I kind of looked at him and I said, you're going to have to fill me in here. What are you talking about? Look for horizontal scrape marks on the granite. I thought, why would there be horizontal scrape marks on the granite cliffs that I'm climbing up? I mean, T-Rex did not live here and scrape the granite rocks. I don't get it. He says, if you look at Uniweep Canyon, it's not a very major waterway, but there's this canyon. And you know what canyons look like, right? Well, Uniweep Canyon looks like this. It's a little hard to do it and show you and not cover up my microphone, but it's U-shaped instead of V-shaped. My geology professor said, we think it was a glacier that formed that canyon. We don't think it was erosion, but we think there was a glacier there. 2.6 million years ago, North America was covered with glaciers that lasted for 12,000 years that we were covered with glaciers. Anybody remember that? That was before my time alone. But he believes that the glaciers, as they came down, they're picking up rocks and they're scouring and grinding in this rock and ice, and they slowly creep down. And as they do, they scour it out to form this bowl-shaped canyon, and they scrape the walls, forming these scrape marks. He says, watch for those striations. As they do that, they dig and push rocks and material to the side. Those are called lateral moraines. And at the front end of what they're pushing, that's called the terminal moraine. Yes, you're getting a little science lesson here. But I had to tie in the sermon title, you see. A glacial moraine, you see. And I thought, well, this is all very fascinating stuff. I wonder if YouTube has a time-lapse photography of this. I'd like to see the glacier going in real time. Somehow I don't think there was anybody back there with a camera 2.6 million years ago. But it would be fun to watch, wouldn't it? To watch glaciers actually move and do this work and take 12,000 years to carve the landscape. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Time. Time. Time is this interesting thing, and that's what Her Majesty the Queen was talking about. We're on human time that says I can text it and it's there instantaneously. And God's time. Here's what she said. At the heart of the Christmas story lies the birth of a child. A seemingly small and insignificant step overlooked by many in Bethlehem. But in time, through his teaching and by his example, Jesus Christ would show the world how small steps taken in faith and hope can overcome long-held differences and deep-seated divisions to bring harmony and understanding. Many of us already try and follow his footsteps, she said. The path, of course, is not always smooth and may at times this year have felt quite bumpy. But small steps make a world of difference. Time. Sometimes we get impatient, and I think that that's one of the reasons people have left the church. We're used to instantaneous response. They want to come to church, say a prayer, and their whole world be corrected instantly. They want to just have God step in and change it all right now and fix it. And if not, at least in a one-hour segment like most of our TV shows. Heck, they can solve all kinds of crimes in an hour. Should be easy for God. And so people have said, no, God's not fast enough for us. Is that what's happening? Time. I don't think I see society moving. That doesn't mean it's not. It means that sometimes God's movement in human history may not be detectable to us, but it is as inexorable as that glacier carving away a canyon. Happy New Year. In this new year, let's keep faith. Let's share that faith. Let others know that this seemingly insignificant event 2,000 years ago is still unfolding in Jesus Christ, in whose faith we remain. Amen.